Of the 55,000 species making up the phylum Chordata, half of these species are fish. Because fish are so common is probably why most people overlook how interesting they can really be. Just the simple fact that water is 5 times more viscous and 800 times more dense than air, and fish have the ability to survive in this medium due to their neutral buoyancy, is incredible. Fish also live in a variety of different environments, whether it be salt or freshwater, streams or rivers, lakes or ponds. What most people don't realize is the incredible diversity fish harbor between these different environments. What is it that you think is different between a fish in a lake or a river? The most common answer would probably be that they look a little different. And who would have thought that this could be such a big deal? A way a fish looks has everything to do with how it moves, and by looking at a fish with a trained eye, one can tell what kind of conditions it lives in. Moving water, like a stream or a river, and still water, like a lake or a pond, is an observable difference between two types of bodies of water containing fish. Besides the fact that one body of water is still while the other is moving, what are other differences? Communities of fish and prey availability vary, but there are two other constant differences. Moving water typically has a higher concentration of oxygen and lower ice cover than still water. At this point, the implication that all fish are the same is absurd. They must have evolutionary differences allowing their survival in different bodies of water to be optimal. Body shape and how a fish has evolved to the desired body shape has a lot to do with how they cope in different environments. Brian Langerhans is a scientist that took the difference between high-flowing and low-flowing water into great consideration when looking at differences in the fish found from each. He focused on the different fish body shapes and the implications of this. In low-flowing water, he found that fish were chubbier on the posterior side, with a thicker caudal peduncle. The caudal peduncle is the muscular base of the caudal, or tail fin. This thicker caudal peduncle implies burst swimming, like when a fish is encountered with a predator and immediately bursts away. Pikes are good examples of this because of their thick, muscular caudal peduncle, allowing forceful tail fin movements. In high-flowing water, fish are normally more streamlined. A streamlined fish is round around the midsection and becomes very narrow around the caudal peduncle. This implies that fish are much more efficient swimmers. Since they are in moving water, there is already that disadvantage to predators, and being an efficient swimmer is seemingly more important. Because of the narrow caudal peduncle, these fish's ability to burst swim is low, but at least they have the current working in their favor. Tuna are streamlined fish that are incredibly fast and efficient swimmers, and because of this, they lack the muscle mass in the caudal peduncle necessary for burst swimming. To provide further evidence of these predictions, Langerhans also looked at the caudal fin aspect ratio, which is the square of the height of the tail fin divided by its area. As the area of the fin increases, the aspect ratio decreases. Fish found in low-flowing water had lower aspect ratios than those found in high-flowing water, implying that the height of the tail fin is smaller and the area is larger than those fish found in high-flowing water. One can imagine this fin as rather bulky and perfect for providing the thrust needed to burst away from a predator. Fish found in high-flowing water had a much higher aspect ratio than those fish found in low-flowing water, implying their tail fins are much higher with less area. This is the perfect fin for efficient swimming. Hopefully, the diversity of fish between the two different environments discussed inspires a little more thought about these creatures. Think back to the fishes you have observed throughout your lifetime. Can you remember whether their caudal peduncles were thick or thin? Can you relate this back to what type of water they lived in? Yes, you can. However, it is important to note that the diversity of aquatic environments stretches far beyond just still and moving water. And because of these vast differences, just as many differences, if not more, are observed in fishes. For example, the world's smallest known fish, Paedocyprus progenetica, is just 7.9 millimeters long. It was found in Indonesia and calls the acidic waters of peat swamps its home. Quite on the contrary, the largest fish, the whale shark, has a maximum length of about 65 feet and weighs up to 75,000 pounds. This fish calls tropical, warm oceans its home. Just like no one would ever see the whale shark in acidic peat swamps, no one would ever see Paedocypris progenetica in tropical, warm oceans. And this is precisely why observing the differences in aquatic environments is so important and interesting. It can tell us what fish to expect there, just as observing fish within an environment can tell us a lot about that environment as well.